We live in a day and age where many people crave citizenship of a particular country. Because being in another country, if the country is managed well, can cause your entire life to be redefined. When you become a child of God, as much as we are on earth, where is our real citizenship? And how are we supposed to live our lives so that we can live so effectively here, drawing from our home country? Everybody born in Christ, you are registered in Zion's registry. So when you come into Christ, you are actually a citizen of a country. This is where we find ourselves spiritually. So you on earth must have this consciousness that you are a citizen of a country, which must become very real to you. And what's the name of that country? That country is called heaven.
Now, your word in season.
We've been dealing with Zion. And in Zion, dealing with Zion, we've been zooming in into understanding matters about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Now, it's important to note that when you become a child of God, you have not yet become a son of God. What do I mean by that? Sonship, as we know that word, when you say a son is not born. A son is given. A son is raised. A son is placed. Somebody say a son is placed. So in prophecy, he says, unto us, a child is born. Go to the book of Isaiah. Give us that prophecy. I hope you hear it. For unto us, a child is born. Why didn't he end there? Unto us, a son is given. What is the difference between a child and a son? Sonship is not by birth. To be a child of someone doesn't make you a son of the person. Now, the word son, because in our minds, son is gender-based. We tend to get the wrong picture of what sonship is. When we say a son or sonship, it is linked with one that has come to maturity, not one that is born as in gender of a male. So a child can be a male child or can be a female child. But the moment you cross to son, it is no longer gender. It is maturity. One that has come of years, who has proven to be responsible, who can now be placed. When we say placement, what does it mean? I hope you are following. When we say placement, the placement of sons. The moment you see a son, the place of a son, is actually talking about when the son has gone through different stages, okay? When the child has gone through different stages of maturity and he has fulfilled the father's heart or desire, and therefore he is announced at different junctions of his maturity process. Okay? So you see that when Jesus was born, he was not announced immediately as the Son of God. He was born as a child. Heaven jubilated. Earth jubilated. All right? But then, there was no public declaration of God as, this is my beloved Son. When he was 12 years, we saw he was in the temple, engaging in dialogue with the doctors of the law. After the 12 years, we didn't hear anything of him till he was 30. At 30 years, he comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And when he is dipped in the water and comes up, the voice of the Lord speaks expressly, this is my beloved Son. All right? In whom I am well pleased. But you see, that first declaration was a public declaration. This is my beloved Son. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my, this is my beloved child. This is my beloved son. Because he had come to that first level of maturity. So he was declared to be a son. All right? Then, at another public display, when he found himself on the mountain where he transfigurated, another voice spoke. Then, at that time, he said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Here, he didn't address anybody hearing him. But there, he said, he's my beloved son. Hear ye him. So you see, all those were different levels of placement as what? Not as a child. Some of us have children, right? How many of you would give your car key to your five-year-old boy? So you are my child now. You can't drive. You won't do that. Why wouldn't you do that? He has not proven himself to be responsible and have not grown to that level to be given that opportunity. Hello? So I dare to say many of Christians who are now in Christ are children of God but have not yet started to be placed as sons. So when you hear, I am a child of God, don't be proud you are a child of God. Desire to become a son of God. And I said, son is not gender-based. Son is placement, maturity. And what levels do you attain as you grow in Christ? Don't just celebrate I'm a child of God. For everybody can be a child. For all of us who have been born into Christ are children of God. Beautiful. But in placement, it is sons that are placed, not just those that are what? Children. Am I communicating at all? Hallelujah. For example, in Romans 8:19, or let's say Romans 8:14, then we'll read 19. Paul the apostle said something there. This is just introducing what I'm saying today, all right? I pray you hear me out. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. Say sons of God. That is the word heos, the heos of God. Not when one is born as a child, okay? In Greek, it's technon. He is born as a technon of God. Not techno. Like, okay? When one is a child and is childish and is not maturing, that one is called nepios. He's an infant. He's not mature. You can't give him responsibilities. But when one starts maturing and is now being placed, he's called the heos. The heos. The maturing son. Come on. Who can be placed? Compra? Beautiful. Now, go to verse 19. Now, he says something. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation, not of the children of God, but of the sons of God. The maturing sons, the maturing, those that are maturing, that have accepted the responsibility of their father, all right? He says, those are the ones that the creation is earnestly expecting. Not just children. So your maturity is important to God. Not just your birthing, all right? So next week we'll discuss, write this word down, adoption. We'll discuss it, okay? I hope you love the subject. Somebody say adoption. Good. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read you a scripture there, then I will proceed. Let's start from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The next verse. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Adoption here is not like the adoption we have in our modern system, where if somebody doesn't have a child, he says, I'm going to adopt somebody. No. Adoption here is heothesia, placement of sons. When children are born, you see? So, for example, this one, came in, this my son, I cannot call him my son because now he has a place. Many people in church are not my sons. And now don't let sonship be gender. They are not growing. They are children. Are you following the thing? Over the years, he's matured. So now you see, now I can think with him. I tell you, not everybody who is a child of God will God commit his thoughts to. It will be a waste of resources. I'm telling you, actually, many Christians are children. When you look at the choices they make, you see, Kai, children on board. Sons. He says, everybody has been predestinated. That means, Yashisha toho de, ebeba beye son. Okay? You will mature and come where now you will be placed. Are you following the thing? But it is not automatic. You need to submit yourself to his training program so that he can bring you to that place. Then, as you apply yourself to the patterns of the heothesia, you will be placed. Am I communicating? So, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So every child of God is predestinated to become a son. You are not born a son. Oh, come on here. Heothesia. Say heothesia. And I say heothesia means what? Placement of sons or the placing of sons. So you are a child of God when you are born into Christ. But you are not a son yet because sonship is a journey. And then many of the parables of Jesus concerning the kingdom of heaven, he actually spoke about when children of God are functioning here on earth, they must be conscious that a day is coming. What they were given to work with is what would give them a placement in the coming kingdom. Is somebody hearing me at all? So the journey of the child of God on earth is the journey into sonship. So don't play games with any opportunity God gives you because it is to set you up for that which has been predestined for you, which is sonship. All right? And I tell you, there will be shocks in the coming kingdom because many would have thought they were functioning as children. But they did not work their way through to become sons, to be placed. So next week we'll look at how do you work your way through to become a son of God. Because it is not conferred on you. Even Jesus had to earn it. Being born, you have no hand in it. But how many of you know not all parents are happy about the children they give birth to? Every parent is happy about the responsible children that they give birth to. Who has grown to be responsible? The irresponsible ones, the parents don't even want to mention their name. They say, "Hush, this one, where did he come from? This one." Why? Because they are not glad. That means they did not become responsible children. If you think human beings are like that, how much more God? No, you can't live anyhow and think that God is happy. No. So now let's consider one parable that Jesus told. I've told you that. No matter the success you have on earth, functioning with the principles of the kingdom, don't be so swallowed up by the successes you have here on earth because eternity is bigger than time. And whether we like it or not, one day all of us will enter back into eternity. There's a little book I'm doing, Eternity to Eternity. You see, you come from eternity, you enter time. A day is coming, you exit time, you enter back into eternity. What will be your place in eternity? It is the opportunity he gave you between the two dates. You know, everybody enters in a particular date. And there's a hyphen. Have you seen anybody's tomb? They give them the time you were born, the time you exited. So the hyphen. So everybody's life is in between two dates. So what are you doing concerning the kingdom? Don't just live your life deeply engraved into things on earth and accomplishing great things. It's beautiful and all of us are going to accomplish great things. But then let's be conscious. One day, no matter, come on, Alexander the Great went away. Maybe, I don't know if you like history. Dr. Nkrumah is gone. Let's name them. Washington, all the great men you know who have accomplished great things. So my prayer for you is that you will also be conscious of getting ready for the eternity you can't dodge. You can't dodge. Nobody can dodge it. Especially those of us that are young. Sometimes it's almost like we have a lot of time. Hey, let's wising up early in our lives. Is somebody listening at all? Hallelujah to Jesus. So I told you last week when we were at camp that the parables of Jesus were in twofold about the kingdom of heaven. He spoke about the functioning of the children of God here as they journey into sonship. Okay? The function here. Then he also spoke about the coming of the kingdom. So as much as the kingdom is at hand, his reign has not come fully. And a day is coming. His reign is going to be here fully. And what will be your place as a son in that kingdom? That is why church is important. All right? So let's look at just one parable. Okay? Matthew 25. We'll start reading from verse number 14. Last week I was encouraging you. Even Father Abraham, the word of God says, when even he was roaming on the promised land, he was looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. He was on the promised land. So I told you, our career achievements is not the real promise. Whatever we become on earth, it's not the real promise. Though we will become it. As for that one, sure, for sure. Because we are the salt of the earth. If we don't become it, who will become it? We are the light of this world. I hope you are getting the point. Yeah. So we'll be the leaders of our fields. But then let's not our minds be captivated only by that. Let's be eternity conscious. Like Abraham, he looked for a city. Though he was in the land, he was still looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. Now in Matthew 25, let's consider the parable there. I know it's a parable that all of us are conversant with, but let's read it again for our study of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 25 from verse 14. So remember, the kingdom parables are in twofold. The function of the kingdom on earth, that is the operation of the children of God, okay? And the kingdom that is what? Coming. That is yet to come. That is the inheritance, our placement, okay? All right. Now, in Matthew 25 from verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. So this, I believe, the Lord Jesus, with this parable, was speaking about himself. He traveled into a far country. Who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods? Say his own servants. Say like you are here. So you see, in our modern thinking, children are valuable than servants, isn't it? Like if you are in the house and maybe you are a child and your father has or your mother has a house help, you think you are more important than the house help because you were born in the house, isn't it? Yes. In God's house, servants are more important than children. So he wants children to become servants because it is servants that will be given the goods, not just children. So I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. It's not even a good confession. You are a child of God. Yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. Decide to mature. You must then mature and come into being a servant. Servanthood. Servanthood is greater than childhoodness. If there's any word like that. So, he did not deliver his goods to his children. He delivered his goods to who? Servants. Say servants. Say servants. I pray that everybody here, one day you would describe, I'm a servant of God. I'm a servant of God. Yes, I'm a servant of God. Not just I'm a child of God. I'm serving God. I'm a servant of God. Now, verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents. Somebody say 5 talents. So when you hear talent, what comes into your mind? Some people say, oh, he gave me a talent to sing. He gave me a talent to preach. He gave me a talent to dance. So I'm dancing to the Lord. No. It's not that. Now, the word talent there, this was written in a different time zone and in a different cultural setting. So talent there has to deal with weight of measurement. Like you say, 5 kilograms of rice. Okay? So what talent? So maybe 5 talents of. Because when he came back and they were giving account, he said, why didn't you put my money at the bank? So here, you can't put talent of singing in the bank. Are you getting the point? But one thing you should take note of is that here, he was speaking in parables. So you cannot interpret it with modern day technology and say talent means singing. Is somebody listening at all? Hallelujah. Good. So he says he gave 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1 and to every man according to his several ability, and straight away took his journey. So the master is gone. Now, the next verse. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Somebody say 5 talents. Come on, talk to me. Amen. Verse 17. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Next verse. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Have you seen this guy? He hid his Lord's money. What happened? After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler. Somebody say ruler. So whatever we are given here to do as servants is what would position us as rulers in the coming kingdom. So anybody that doesn't sign up as a servant of God, forget rulership in the next age. It may sound like it will never come. It will come. People of God, it will come via. Sometimes it sounds like untrue. When will this thing come? They have been preaching this for many, 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 many years. If it will come, it will come. let me say this. If even you do not believe in the total change of the earth and the heavens passing away, when you leave the earth, where do you go? You let's ask ourselves. Okay, if the rulership is after you have spent your years here, when you get there, I personally believe that God is too wise and his creation too expands and rich for us to just go into extinction when we live here. Look at what science has discovered. The planets. The many things we can't see with our eyes that science have discovered. Oh, so all of this is just a display? I beg to differ. Probably there are planets that we don't know about. That rulership is taking place. I'm like a fiction preacher. I'm getting your mind, if like you are reading a storybook and you see this omnipotent God, this God who created everything, and he created you as in his image and after his likeness, and after you're living here, you just go into extension. Bam. Abba! Rulership is waiting. Huh? Come on. Can I talk? Yes, I dare to say that some of us may not even be given square meter to rule. A square meter. Because there's nothing servanthood you became on this earth. Even before I come to talk about serving Christ and all that, when he gave you a space, how do you manage the space? Where do you think African leaders will be? What he gave us, if we are stewards, and the real thing is now coming, how are you taking care of what he gave us now? That's what I'm saying. Even before we come to talk about everything he gave you, you spoiled it. Every mineral he gave you, you wasted it. That day, for me, I think that if you, let's put this down. I'm coming. You, let's put this down. If even that day will be for all mankind, a lot of people won't be given anything. And those of you that don't even like leadership here on earth, that day, who are you going to lead there? There will be no leadership for you because you didn't want to make any difference in the life of anybody. It is in Africa we think leaders are superheroes who must enrich themselves before they think. True leaders think about people.
Yeah.
So the next day I come at your backyard. You see where you are doing that refuse dump? It doesn't matter. If we should give you mass, let's say God is going to share the planets to us. Do you think he will give you a portion of anything to rule? I'm asking you a question. I think we should be more concerned about if there's any rulership after here, where will be our place? So whatever you are given to do here, do it well. I even think bedroom management. Look at the way you handle the wife God gave you here. What else should God give you? No, what? Look at the way you are treating the husband God give you. I'm talking about, so in that time, what are you expecting? Whatever he gives you here, he's looking at how you are handling it. Okay, enough of the pettiness. Let me put it down. I will make thee ruler over men. What is this? So in the mind of Jesus, Jesus is not looking at you are just coming to do in the next age. No, rulership. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The next verse. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then let's look at this guy. Then he which has received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man. Look. But do you know a lot of us, that's our attitude towards Jesus. Why should I do this for the Lord? No. You are a hard man. When I was suffering to get what I was getting, do you know how I suffered to get what do you understand what I'm trying to say? Reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. 25. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. He didn't just take it back. He called him wicked. He called him slothful. That is lazy servant. Thou knowest that I reap where I sow not and gathered where I have not strawed. 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges. That's the bankers, okay? And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury. That means in faswo. Usury is in faswo. Kas in faswo. Yeah, profit. So God wants profit from our lives. The next verse. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here he speaks concerning servants and their placement in the age to come, in the coming, the kingdom that is yet to come. All right, everybody seated here, you have the opportunity to become a servant unto him, unto whom he would give a portion of, listen carefully, what he has. Listen carefully. So if Jesus gave what he had, the Lord in this picture, gave what he had to his servants, what he had, what does God have or Jesus have as the Lord that he gives to his servants? I dare to say that the different measures of his gift that he commits to men. What are the different measures of his gift? Please don't lose me. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse number Let's start from 8. Verse 8, please. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. What gifts did he give? Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Go. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Go. And he gave some. He says he gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Go. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work, okay, of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means all the saints are supposed to be doing the work of the ministry. Hey. So the first set of servants that he gives something to, verse, go back to 11. He gave some. You can interpret this like this, that he gave to his children. He gave some of his children pastors. But I want you to read it also like this. He gave some to be apostles. Please look at it. There are different interpretations that people can give, but I want you to open your mind. He gave some. For what? Go. The perfecting of what? The saints. Perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. That means, now, if I was given either one or two or three or whatever, when the master came and they were giving account, he didn't say the one that got 5 talents came back to say, I have 5 tomatoes. What did he come back to say, I have 5 more of? Same talents. So, say I was given pastor. What should everybody that comes to me become? You are not getting it. So look at something here. As much as you may give account on your life that day to come. So he gave me pastor. Now he brings me this one. And all I succeeded in doing was to turn her into a big businesswoman. So on that day, when I'm presenting the talents that he gave me, what will I be presenting? Businesswoman, I'm in trouble. I've got to be presenting a pastor. So irrespective of what you become, become one of the fivefold. I know that those in the fivefold sometimes make it look like just a few have been called. Look, you can be a big politician and still be a pastor, a shepherd over others. Maybe you are not getting what I'm trying to say. Did I hear somebody say it's possible? No, I want you to be looking at it from this angle. So, if all I was able to do was to raise His Excellency to become a politician, no, there must be a pastor consciousness there. Because that is the only way he can now serve the Lord in that capacity in the kingdom. Am I communicating at all? So we must have many, everybody here can be an evangelist. That is telling people about Jesus and winning them over. So the talent is not talent of singing. I dare to say, all those that he gave were complementary gifts. But the main talents are the ministry gifts so that the saints can be perfected to do the work. Am I communicating? So please, if you think church is to make you a big time businessman, that is only on the side. It's a side effect. The first thing is that everybody here can become an apostle. Who is an apostle? A sent one. Stop. Take this hideous gown, big cross from your mind. Yes. That is the problem we have created. Yes. In the scripture, there were females that were prophetess. Everybody here can become a, you know, there are classes of pastors. You can be a shepherd over 3. You are still a pastor, but you are a shepherd at a certain class. Church is not just to excite you. It's to position you well for the work of the ministry. So that now the talents he gave us to trade with. I tell you, I seek to present many prophets. Oh boy, are you getting what I am saying? Many apostles. Yeah. You are in the parliament house, but you are an apostle. Say, how can apostle? Who separated the so-called called from the rest of the people? Everybody. That's why he said, many are called, few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Few are not chosen because just God wanted to choose few. Few are chosen because few accepted the call to do what the call expects. What are you becoming in the house of God? A big businessman, a good lawyer. It is all of those things is to give us access into the world so that we can have contact with people, so that we can do the work of the ministry. So you want to tell me that His Excellency Chairman Upon Daniel, with all his abilities, can be a pastor? All he's supposed to be doing is just to be doing politics. That is a very wrong. So just imagine this one with the influence God gives him. Now, when you come into the kingdom, he knows his place as a shepherd. Then you see that any group of people he's organizing, after talking politics, he will chip in kingdom issue. Then you realize that by the time you realize he has so many people who are under the influence of the king. Because if it was left with only the political, there will be different views and different people from different backgrounds. They come together and accept their political ideology. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, he will make impact. I don't know if I'm helping somebody here this morning. So listen. When the master comes, everything that he gave us, we will give account. But remember this. All the parables had interpretation. This particular one is not referring to the talent of singing. It is actually referring to the measurement of weight. So for example, maybe me, he's giving to me pastoring. Maybe he's giving to me apostleship. Hey, but maybe somebody he's giving him, how many are the callings he mentions here? Five. How many did he give the first one? Five. How many did he give the second one? Two. How many did he give the last one? Most of the time, somebody can be an apostle, he can be prophet, he can be evangelist, he can be a pastor, he can be a teacher. Somebody like Bishop Dagwood Mills. For me, he's in all. Else he can't do what he's doing. He can't. Someone like Pastor Chris Oyakhilome. He's in awe. That's what I think. And to him, much is given. So I wonder those people that just want to be like those people. You can't just be like them. It is given. It is given. The master, he gave. So what he's giving me, I must know. Then I trade with it. You don't know now, just say that he gave somebody five. Why did you give me one? You see, it's the one that hid it. Everybody seated here, never forget this. If nothing at all, God gave you a pastor. So if he even not expecting you to have five, he's expecting you to have the one he gave. So if you think in your mind, oh, not everybody is called to be pastor, oh boy. That is the mindset that have been painted by those who, and some people also think that the moment you say you are called to be a pastor, that means go and start a church. That is not it. So please, I have an assignment to bring you to that place that you too, one day you can say you are a shepherd over sheep. So everybody seated here, whether you are awake or you are sleeping, whether you like it or not, the talent that was given us by the Lord when he was living was that of pastoring. And everybody must become one. I think you were never thinking about that, isn't it? Yes. So you will sit in church and you realize, what is church about? That's why so many Christians get frustrated. The end result of why they came to church is never projected to them. So they are just in church. They come to receive encouragement, and that is not it. They just come to be encouraged to go and do their businesses. No, you must be growing into sonship, and sons are servants. Walk with this consciousness. I am not just a child. I will strive to become a son. And I will serve the Lord. I will decide to become also a shepherd over. So if by the time you are counting and say, hey, look at the number of people by God's grace I've been able to bring into the house of God, into the kingdom. And I'm now being raised as a shepherd. I can also shepherd people. Now you are understanding sonship. Hallelujah. Let's not just celebrate earthly success, people of God. You know, I'm humbled by stories of men like Makion. Makion had no biological child. But look at the Church of Pentecost. He's dead and gone long time. You see, he traded well with his talents. Yeah. Some of us have children. We have a lot. In that day, that is not what he will count. So one of my greatest prayer and my heart desire is that my children will become my sheep. So at the end of the day, they are not just pastor's children. They also came to accept the reality of the kingdom of heaven. So what are you becoming? Go through this week knowing that everybody has a place, but you only take that place when you answer the call to servanthood. What type of servanthood? The ministry of shepherding people. Will you answer or you will throw it away? God bless you. And I pray for you. May this week bring you good. May this week bring you blessings untold. And as you go about your daily activities throughout the week, may the Spirit of the Lord cause you to experience His peace, unending peace, like never before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for joining in today's broadcast. If you want to give your heart to Christ, I want you to make this confession heartily after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I believe in my heart that you died on the cross, and on the third day you were raised back to life, and you are alive. I confess your lordship over my life. From this day, my name is kept in the book of life. Thank you for saving me, even in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said this confession, you're a child of God, and I want you to find a Bible-believing church and be planted in it. Or you can join us in the Shepherd Stream Church, and you will grow to become a great tree of righteousness that will bear fruit to the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with my Pastor Christian. We believe you've been refreshed by The Shepherd's Stream for a glorious living in Christ Jesus. You can get the messages of the man of God, Pastor Christian, on Telegram, Facebook, YouTube, podcast, or podcast addict, all at My Pastor Christian or Shepherd Stream Church. For further inquiries, prayer, or pastoral counseling, messages, and the books of Pastor Christian, please call our helpline on +233 540 953 015 or +233 558 863 287, or visit our international office at Edum opposite the GRA office, Kumasi. We also have the pleasure to invite you to join us in our glorious celebration services this and every Sunday at the Fresh Oil Assembly, Kumasi City Church, KCC, in the Senate Conference Room, Edum, on the Hyper Road, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. You can also join in our services via YouTube Live at Pastor Godfrey Christian Apiafe. Come, pray, be seated, and experience the glory of God. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.